Morning show at East Coast FM. Now, yesterday, East Coast FM received a message with the following post from Facebook. It reads, "This is the last thing we want to be doing, plastering Rachel all over the internet. This is the only option my mam has left to try to get help Rachel needs as she's been turned away by everybody else. Anyone that knows Rachel knows this is not her. She was the most independent, happy-go-lucky girl. Loved to talk to everybody, and everybody loved walking, cycling around, listening to her iPod every day. That was Rachel. Rachel's mental health started deteriorating 2 years ago. She was under the care of doctors in Newcastle in Sunbeam House, and she had been raped in 2015. And we feel she never got the help she should have been given." And Rachel's mum, Stephanie, is here, and her sister, Nicole. You're very welcome. Thank you for,
thank you for coming in.
That sounds, you know, that is and was a horrendous experience for Rachel back in 2015, Stephanie.
Yeah, it was terrible. And even after that, Rachel never got any help, never any counselling. There was nothing. She was more or less left to deal with what happened.
Herself
and us.
And when that happened, you know, were the Gardaí involved? Or what?
Yeah, the Gardaí, yeah. I went to court. He received 3 years for the rape. He raped her twice. He's obviously out now, I'd say, but...
But the legal justice part was
done. The legal justice, that
was... But the trauma afterwards was the what had to be dealt with.
Just horrific, wasn't it, Nicole?
Yeah. What age was Rachel?
She would have been 16 at the time.
Right.
Yeah, nearly 17. Just terrible. It was terrible for the whole family. Everyone, having to deal, I suppose, with what happened and trying to help her and trying to keep things off her mind. Like, she often did say it. I even had a 10-year-old son at the time, and I had to sit him down and tell him what happened to her, because she was telling him things that happened and he didn't understand why she was saying this. He was getting frustrated.
And what it meant.
And what he didn't know why she was saying it. So we had to actually sit our son down at the 10 years of age, tell him what happened to his sister.
So you saw, obviously, deterioration very quickly after that incident.
Yes, the deterioration kind of, it was two years after maybe she started saying things about it, and she started getting very paranoid in the house. She thought someone was following her outside and she was hiding at windows. She was doing a lot of things, wasn't she? She kept saying that, tell him to go away, tell people. It was just, she wasn't making any sense at the time, but she was convinced that there was somebody there.
Did she get counselling immediately after this horrific event?
No.
To her?
No.
She hadn't had any?
She hasn't had counsel.
No.
She gets counselling now, obviously, with the mental health system,
But after it happened, nothing happened.
There was nothing. It was like it never happened. That's the way it felt. Yeah. It was like this never happened. There was no one that contacted us after it to see how she was or keeping up with her. There was nothing.
And eventually there was medical intervention.
Yeah, it would have been over 2 years ago. I ended up seeking help through Newcastle Hospital because her mental health had deteriorated. So we got to see them anyway, and she was put on to like an antipsychotic tablet. And then it would have been a few months after that, Rachel started getting very bad tremors in her legs. So she was put on another tablet for the side effects, and it was a Parkinson's disease tablet to stop these tremors, which she still has the tremors. And then to level them out or whatever that was, you gave her an antidepressant. So this really took its toll last year. She started holding her head down, wouldn't look up at anybody. What else? She lost eye contact with us maybe last summer. And then in October, her eyes closed for the final time. She hasn't opened them since.
My gosh.
Her eyes are really clenched together.
We
haven't seen her face. No. She won't let you look at her. She's all the time, the head is down. If you try to look at her, she'll kind of get a bit aggressive at you. She just will not let you look
and
at her.
Is there any communication with her?
Yeah, it's communication. She can be in good form, and then she'll have her days where you just cannot snap her out of that bad form. Like, she can be very frustrated, very angry. She'll lash out at anybody.
Yeah.
And she's like that for the whole day. Then
yeah, like
she's
the whole day until she's gone to bed. Yeah.
And is she at home all the time? I mean, she's still in her early 20s. I mean,
she's
23.
Goes to Sunbeam here just down the road. It was last week I actually decided that I wasn't sending her back because she's in such a state going in. And they're trying to tell, like, she goes 3 days a week, only until 1 o'clock. Some days I might have to collect her at 11 o'clock because she's at the vomiting. She'll vomit to get home. That's the way she's gone. She might soil herself, so I'll have to collect her. She's not even really interacting with people in the job. And then they're trying to say, like, maybe send her in for a longer period of time, get her back in a full week. It's not going to, it won't work. She's too stressed.
And just to go back then to pre the rape, right. I mean, tell me about Rachel then.
Rachel was the most independent, most loving. She was a computer genius, wasn't she, Nicole?
Yep.
She knew how to work phones. She knew more than what I knew. She was very fit. She cycled every day, walked every day. She went to Shoreline every day. That was her little shop. She used to get her drink and crisps. I'd wait at the fence for her. That was her independence. She was in and out of the house every 20 minutes. Listen, she'd come in, have something to eat, straight back out, listen to her songs, down to she cannot even wipe herself. She can't walk unaided. We have to do everything for her. Help her get dressed, help her strip.
And before, she'd never want to stay in the house, but...
Yeah, and she used to look forward going to work. She'd have her clothes ready every night. She used to watch her TV every day. She had films planned. She'd stack them up beside her DVD player and planned each film. And she's down to... She hasn't watched the TV since October. She doesn't listen to her songs. She's gone.
And her iPod, she'd be on that every single day. She doesn't even... She, won't
she used to write notes to herself on it, taking selfies. They're full of selfies, all her. She used to do her own makeup, shower herself, do her hair. She can't do anything. Basically
so
cannot do
we've two
anything.
Rachels here. We've got the pre-rape Rachel.
Yeah.
And then this dreadful incident happened. Then she started having these symptoms of different behaviour at the effect of... obviously that trauma, then the medication. So what medication is she on now? Is she still on the same ones that are causing her problems?
It would have been a few weeks ago, the doctor from Newcastle, they said that they were going to bring her case to the other doctors in Newcastle because they don't know what's happening. So the following week, I had another meeting with them and they said that they want Rachel off the antipsychotics. And within 3 weeks, they had her weaned off the antipsychotics, which they never said what... But they reckon that Rachel might have had some rare side effects.
Yeah. Are you not consulted about all this?
I'm not consulted about much now. They don't tell me much, to be honest with you. Like, they didn't tell me what happened at the actual meeting. All they said was that they want her off the antipsychotics. And they want to do it, like, in difference, like, within the 3 weeks it was done. And then she's still on the Parkinson's disease tablets and the antidepressant. And they said that they want her to come off them next. They want her off everything.
But has she got a diagnosis?
Well, not really. Just not really. Like, it's been 2 years. He said that she did have some form of antipsychotic breakdown. But there's...
But that needs more help than just a few tablets.
There's no... Now, I was on the phone this morning as well to the psychologist, and she says that Rachel... Like, what's happened to Rachel? It takes a long time to actually diagnose someone. Like, 2 years is a long time not to have someone diagnosed. You know what I mean? Like, and to see her slipping, the way she has slipped. Everyone has seen the slip, like, has watched this unfold and still cannot help me. I've been ringing. I rang the Irish National Rehabilitation Centre to see could they help. They said that they only deal with people.
Physical, is it? Yeah.
That took strokes or car crashes, just to try and someone to maybe help her, mobilitate her. To try and get her back to using her body in some way to straighten or something. And then the mental health, I rang Vincent's yesterday or the day before to the mental health part, and they said that they can't help me, that it's up to Wicklow, and that's who I'm with. So I'm just, I'm left on an egg hunt. There, one person's telling me to do this, one's telling me to do that, but I'm not getting anywhere.
Is there a GP involved?
Now, my GP was Dr. Belton. She's gone. So I have seen two other doctors in the meantime, But it would have been last week I brought her to another doctor down the town. She's not my doctor, she'd be a new doctor to me, but she said she's never seen anything so horrendous. She, that's the only word she has, is horrendous.
She, by the sound of it and what you say, she needs help.
She needs help. If she doesn't get the help, her fear is that she's going to die. Yeah. She's going to either choke on her vomit or something, like something's going to happen to her. There's only so much we can do. We don't know what to do. We're not doctors. We need help.
And we're not even getting the help off any of the doctors.
Like, they're not even. Last week I brought her back to these two doctors in Newcastle. One was busy with a client, but the other man came out and seeing how bad of a state she was in. And I still haven't heard from them. They never even rang to see was she all right after that.
And then when you do go back and there is doctors there, they're still saying, oh, I can't.
We don't know.
But you don't hear ratting off them in the meantime.
Yeah, they know we're having a chat. We got in touch and they say they don't talk about, obviously, clients and things like that. But from what you say, there's greater intervention that
like there has to be somebody out there that has dealt with something like this.
For Rachel's sake, especially with all your worry about it.
Yeah, like the occupational therapist, she was up last week. She's very worried about Rachel. Rachel crawls up the stairs and has to take a break at the top of the stairs to catch her breath. And she crawls into her bedroom. She has to catch her breath again. It's like she's nearly getting a carpet burn on her face. Her face is embedded into my carpet as she's crawling. That's the way she's. That's the way she's living.
But I asked you about her communication, and you said some days she has good days and things like that.
Some days she has great days.
Do you have a chat?
We have great chats, don't we? Like she's always looking to ask like what we doing today, but if we say we'll do something, she won't leave the house.
Yeah, does she tell you about what's going on in her mind?
No, she never, and she hasn't even complained of the state that she's in. Not once has she complained like, why am I like this? What has happened? Nothing.
Yeah, no questions.
It's like this is, she's just living her life this way. But the days that she does have the bad days, that they're the days where you can see the frustration in her. It's like she's not coping. So, like, she's thinking, like, what's going on? That's what she's like. And she cannot snap herself out of this. It's like she's mad at everybody.
She just goes to bed and you kind of have to hope she's in better form when
she
wakes
goes back up.
Yeah. And what's it like in the house?
It's terrible. Very hard, like, very, very hard. Like, it's very hard to watch her in this position. Like, it's devastating. Like, to watch she was. Just devastating.
Has anybody ever told you that, it might be okay, maybe a longish journey, but we can get her out of this and have a
come
to terms with what happened, which is the most awful thing in the world to have happened, but that there's some hope on the horizon
to
be old Rachel.
Any hope? People are just, they don't know what to do.
Off anyone.
No. It's like you're put on the long finger all the time, waiting for the next meeting to come up, which could be another 6 weeks. Like, time is wasting. Rachel is wasting away.
Why is she attending Sunbeam House Services?
That's her, it's like her job, it's like the daycare.
Right.
Rachel's in that, even the girls in the job are so upset with the way Rachel has gone.
Right, and she works there?
Yeah, she works there.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, they're upset bringing her out. Like, the last time I went to collect her last week, it took two girls to take her out, one under each arm, to try and get her out.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that she's working in that sort of job means that underneath it all, she's a very caring, giving person.
Yeah. She has seen physios in the job. The physios reckon that it's nothing physical because her bone structure's so good. She's able to move. They can't put their head together on that either. Like, if...
So you don't know what the future is. I mean,
I don't know what the future is for Rachel.
She needs some.
She needs
some intervention.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've seen those particular tablets weren't the answer anyway.
No. Definitely weren't the answer. Rachel's destroyed.
Yeah.
It's destroyed her. In every way.
You've put this up on social media pleading for anybody who listened.
We said it so many times. It was actually did not want to put it up.
We didn't want to do it. We didn't want to, I suppose, put the videos up on our like that. But we were left with no choice.
And what reaction have you got?
People haven't seen Rachel in so long. They're shocked. Like, people are actually shocked to see the state that she's in.
Yeah.
It's not the Rachel she used to be.
No.
And have you got reaction to that?
Yeah, there's a lot.
So many people are saying the same as well, yeah.
A lot of people that knew her said that they can't believe that that's the Rachel they know.
Heartbreaking, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Nicole, I mean, you being a sibling, a sister, I mean, can you see anything that could help her there, or?
No. I don't know what's going to come of it at all.
Yeah.
It does be so frustrating as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When, you know, appointments are put off every 5 weeks, but in between that you're hearing nothing.
Yeah, and you're hoping that maybe the next time they might have something, there's some plan, that someone's going to do something, but nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Well, let's hope out of what you've done on social media and turning up here, and I know Claire's got in touch with all the TDs anyway to see if there's any intervention they can see that can help, or others, whatever that can help.
Just anybody, if there is anyone out there that can
help anyway.
Like, we'd really appreciate it, even just to try and see, is there anything that can be done? Yeah. Has to be somebody that has done something before, in a case like something similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in.
Right,
Stephanie.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks, Nicole. Thank you.
Yeah,
very caring
people.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.